Let's pray, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we ask as we go to your word and we talk about the decision making in our soul. Lord, help us, first and foremost, to meet men and women who are walking with you. Thank you, Lord, for your love, your patience, and your mercy. In Christ's name, amen. Question as we finish this 4-week discussion on is it well with your soul, is ultimately brings us to the issue as to the decision making of your soul. Are we supposed to just do whatever we want in life? How's that going for you? Or are we to allow the Lord to direct our path? And so here's a verse that we all look at in the next one. And let's say it together. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. Now, there's a lot of different translations of this, but they're all just about right there. In all your ways could be acknowledge him, but it is submit to him. And then he will make your path straight. Some say he will show you the way. I think making our path straight is the best translation. We have all kinds of decisions to make in life, and we can all look back over our lives and determine, boy, that was a doozy, or that was a real tough one, or ones that made really all the difference. It made me think about this as I was driving last Sunday. I had to leave right after church. I had a denominational meeting in El Segundo on Monday. And so I got food and stuff all ready for Carly and Sue, and want to thank those of you here who provided food for them while I was gone. Got in my car and drove down to the Grapevine, and listening to satellite radio on the way down and trying to get all the information I could, and that the Grapevine was still open and all was great. And I got down there just about 6:30, and then between the exit that's got the Chipotle and the Panda Express, not that I would know, and then the next one, which is the last Grapevine exit before it goes up the hill, it took me an hour to go those couple miles. And what had happened was is that as the snow began to descend on the Grapevine, people were not driving wisely, all right? And there were some terrible accidents there. They shut the whole thing down. And so I go and I pull over to the side and I see people queuing up, getting ready to go back onto. They had a gate across the entrance to the freeway. I thought, well, I'll just go to the back of that line. And that ended up being about 7:30. And so right there, if you've ever been there, there's not great cell service, okay? And so I'm waiting in this line, and about every 5 minutes we would maybe move up a car length, and I know that I was just about, the line that I was in was just about half of a mile long on the frontage road. And I thought to myself, okay, what I'll do, I need to get more information, right? I need to find out, are these people all queuing up because they know something that I don't, right? Maybe they've done this before and they know they've already heard that the CHP is going to take them by, a caravan over. So I just waited in a line. And then I began to contact and talk to people, talk to my wife. And I said, could you go on and find anything on Facebook, Twitter, whatever, that may give you information about my dilemma? Because I'm going to wait here until 10 o'clock because I think that they're going to reopen it. So we're all waiting, and about every 5 minutes I'd move up a car length, right? After a while, I just turned my engine off because it was a long wait. About 9 o'clock, Sue finally found out that the Grapevine was not going to reopen until after 3 a.m. So now I had a decision to make, right? And this angel showed up outside my door. Said, don't wait. Is that what happened? No, it'd be nice, right? skywriting. Gary, don't wait here. Well, that could have been very helpful about 4 hours before, you know, right? But for whatever reason, and we've all been in those situations before, now I had a decision to make. It doesn't make any sense for me to sit in this line till 3 o'clock in the morning. So then I thought, well, I'll just drive around the horn. I'll drive through Tehachapi, or I'll drive through Santa Barbara, right? Piece of cake. So I pull over. I had to get something to eat, and I talked to my wife. Now, realizing I'm married, and the two shall become one flesh, that means I don't get to make decisions by myself when it comes to stuff that could be life-threatening. Amen? Okay. So I told my wife, well, here's my options. I can go through Tehachapi. I can go through Santa Barbara. I could just drive home and call it, be a quitter. So anyway, I thought, I will go through Santa Barbara. So I put it in my nav system, and I started heading out. And it says, go on this road, Conger Road. I've never been on that road before. And it's heading along out into the darkness. And then the Spirit of God began to feel very uncomfortable. It felt like I was in a Twilight Zone commercial of some kind. And I began to feel really uneasy. This is not a wise thing. Then I did hear that there was winter storm advisories, not only for the Grapevine, but all the way on the southern coastal range. So I stopped, realized it was going to take me by that probably 4 hours just to get to Santa Barbara. Now it's like 10 o'clock at night. All right. So I decided to find the first hotel I could find and just go to sleep. And then make a decision in the morning. I called up my wife and told her I'm not going to try to drive through the night. She was relieved. Because there was another time in my life where I probably would have just tried to just do it just because I could. I got up in the morning about 5:30, went up and over the Grapevine. It was treacherous, but I drove slow. And I got to my destination an hour before the meeting I was supposed to be at. Friends, life is filled with decisions just like that. Some of them are life-changing. Some of them are life-threatening. Some of them are pretty basic. But we want to talk about that. And because there's no way in the world that I can possibly get through all of this, I have made a copy. I only made 50 copies. If I need to make more, just right now. I mean, there's 10-page long notes. All right? A lot of great people have done stuff on decision-making and will of God. One of those was Ignatius, a guy who lived and born in 1491. All right? So some good notes from that. But ultimately this, later on in the spring, I'm going to do a seminar on a Friday night on decision-making and the will of God, and then we're going to offer a one-day personal retreat where you can work through a specific decision that you're needing to make. The Bible's filled with people who have made both good or bad decisions. Adam and Eve made a real bad decision. God says, you can do all of this, but don't do this. And they did the one thing. It says Eve was tempted and fell, but Adam just did it, you know. All right? So there's something to be said. So that was a really bad decision. Saul, when he was told by God, wipe out all the people, said, nah, I'm going to keep the best of the sheep and keep Agag and whatever. And he lost his kingship. And then when Samuel dies, he goes and gets advice from the witch of Endor. That's a real bad decision. You ever think, what was that person thinking? Anyone ever say that to you? My mom used to say that to me all the time. What were you thinking? Right? When I blew up a cherry bomb in my garage, and it's like, what were you thinking? Right? When I vandalized the school as a fifth grader, what were you thinking? The answer is, I wasn't thinking. I made a poor decision. based upon whatever, greed, lust, stupidity, lack of wisdom, I don't know. Samson made a bad decision. One of the most gifted people ever, supposed to be a deliverer of Israel. And he hooked up with Delilah, and that didn't work well, you know. Bad decisions. The people who Noah preached to for 100 years, they made a bad decision. They should have gotten the ark, right? Think about that. All they had to do was say yes. You know, godly man building an ark. They thought he was nuts. And bad decision. I bet as soon as it started raining, they go, what's this? And then when they got up above their knees and they're trying to claw themselves onto the ark, too late. Obviously, we have plenty of great decisions. Some of the decisions are where to go or what not to do. Some of them are decisions of the soul. Remember when Joseph was face to face with his brothers after they had thrown him in a pit and sold him into slavery? He had lived, all that stuff. Now he's face to face with them years later. You know what he could have done? Just like that, could have had him killed. But his decision was to be gracious. Life is filled with decisions. Like I said, some of the notes that I'm looking, there was a guy, he was a great man of God, Ignatius, born 1491. And he wrestled with this stuff of, well, how do you make decisions? And I realized this is that for myself and the people that as I look at this, we make decisions in the context of something. Now here we see trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways acknowledge Him and He will make our path straight. So obviously one of the things is that we need to not lean on our own understanding and trust the Lord. I do love what it says in Exodus chapter 33 verse 15. And then and Moses said to God, if your presence does not go up with us, do not lead us up from here. Moses is my favorite guy in the Bible. He says, God, if you're not going with us, then don't lead us. I mean, if you're not going on this journey, then I'm not moving. Well, the Lord is the one who delivers us. So we want to look at some primary observations about decisions. First of all, decisions really is an issue of discernment. You're discerning what's right and wrong. Now, interesting, the discernment always involves the choosing between good things, such as between, well, should I become a teacher or should I become a plumber or a missionary or an astronaut? They're both good. It's not a decision between, what should I rob this bank or should I use a swear word, or should I watch some nasty stuff on whatever? That's not discernment. That's the issue of obedience, right? It's the issue of determining that I'm going to walk in a manner worthy of the gospel, and God has already said, don't be involved with stuff that's nasty, and let your speech be pure. So if you have a problem with bad speech, the decision is really this. Simply stop doing that. Because it's sin. There's no decision making. You just have to be obedient. It may be hard, yeah, but I grew up. I used to be a sailor, and we all talk like that. Well, then you got to get over that. That's how my parents. Well, who are you to tell me how to speak? I'm not. God is, and He says, quit cussing. Amen? Amen. God says, quit watching that filthy stuff on the internet. So there's no question of discernment there. Just stop doing what's wrong. So anyway, that's another sermon. Okay. So we realize this, is that it's the determining, Lord, what is the right thing to do? That's the first part of the decision. The next is this. Let me back up a second. I think in order to know that, you have to determine, Lord, help me to be wise. How does a person become wise? According to the book of Proverbs, is to know the Lord's law, the Lord's word. All right? So the second thing, observation about decisions. I believe this, is that we're talking here about those who are in a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about the decision-making in a person who lives, who's an atheist. I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about all of us. The decision-making in the context of a love relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me and guides me. He says, he leads me in the paths of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. So the Lord's involved with this. So first, it's a choice decision making or discernment between what things that are good, not good and bad. You already know the Lord's already told you what's bad. All right? And if you don't know, then ask him. Or ask somebody else who's more mature, hey, do you think it's bad for me to whatever? Cheat on my taxes? Yeah. Why? Because it's stealing. Okay. Psalm 37 is beautiful. Here, let me read the first six verses. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Do not be envious toward wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herbs. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to him. Trust in him, and he will do it. Isn't that beautiful? The Lord will give you the desires of your heart. But the proviso is this. Commit your way to him, and he'll do it. Commit your delights. Commit to your dreams. Commit your desires. I've been a believer now for 45 years. I have to say, it's not been an easy road, but it's been a great road. And I trust the Lord. People say, boy, aren't you wigged out, man? God, now your wife's dealing with cancer. You got your daughter still sick. You know what? Hey, I appreciate that song. We win. And if the Lord wants me to go through a difficult path between now and then, he's doing it for his glory and because it's a righteous road. It's not easy to trust the Lord all the time, but you know, the fact is, he gives us the grace to do that. If we love God and want to have a good relationship with God and grow closer to him, we will want to please him. We will want to do his will. So he told us how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the first is a decision between goods. That's discernment. It's not a decision between good and evil, because we already know evil's wrong. So if the thought comes to your mind, I ought to go cheat on my wife, or I ought to go rob a bank, or I ought to cuss at someone, or hit somebody, or get angry at the person in front of me on the, you know, and do something unchristian, that's wrong. Should I do this? No, it's wrong. I mean, just don't do it. And if you do it, then confess your sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But there shouldn't be a big wrestling match with the Lord anyway regarding those things that are clearly right and wrong. The last thing is this, is that our decision-making must be seen in the context of spiritual warfare. Jesus was tempted. Hey, jump off this. Hey, do this. Hey, if you bow down to me. Well, Jesus went through all those so that he could understand and we could understand that, hey, he gets it. There's no temptation. All temptation are common to man. So we have all to struggle in the midst of this, we have in making decisions with a false sense of ourself, inner compulsions, selfishness, egos, pride, anger, greed, fear, self-doubt, lack of trust. Sometimes our lives are co-opted by some wackadoo idea of the world. It says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, are not from the Father, but from the world." So I love, this is what Ignatius said. I love this verse. He goes, "The biblical terms, this cosmic struggle between good and evil is being played out on the stage of our hearts." This struggle is being played out in the stage of our hearts. So it's decisions we make with the Lord's help. Now once again, in the past, the Lord has done all kinds of stuff to show people, right? Moses, he gets a burning bush, right? Abraham, God just spoke to him. Moses, Noah just spoke to him, right? Peter, I mean, Jesus was right there, but, you know, he got to walk on the water. Paul was trying to go this way, but it says, I was thwarted by the Spirit. And then he had a vision, and the Macedonian guy shows up and says, come this way. I have to tell you, I've been a Christian for 45 years, never once had a vision like that. Not that it's not possible, but the fact is, I don't believe that's typically how God works. God works through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, enlightened by the truth of His Word and prayer. That's how it works. And I believe the wise counsel of others. So let's look at this next thing. Pretty common way to look at it. Decisions, Word of God, counsel of godly, prayer. And then we have some verses. The steps of the good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in him. Uphold my steps in your path, that my footsteps may not slip, and then trust in the Lord with all our heart. That's one diagram of how you can make a decision. But ultimately this, we are purposely made, our souls made fragile, so that we must depend upon the Lord. And some decisions are purposely more complicated. I'm going to jump ahead, and then I'll come back. There's three circumstances that I can see in making decisions. Maybe there's more. But first are decisions is when there's no doubt. House is on fire. I had to get out of the house. You don't call up, hey, Pastor Gary, my house is on fire. I'm thinking maybe I should leave, but what do you think? Well, yeah, why don't you call 10 of your friends and find out, and have them all vote. You'll be burnt to death by that time, all right? There's an old adage, and someone take us back to an old Native American saying, is that basically if your horse is dead, then dismount. All right? Some have said, if your horse is dead, then buy a bigger whip, you know? And that's another old adage. I didn't make it up, so. Friends, there are some decisions that are so obvious. But still, even in the obvious ones, I've known people to make a really bad decision. Years ago, remember the fire that was in the MGM Grand in Reno? There were people who died holding on to slot machines. All right? Oh, no, the next pull is going to do a hook, you know? What are they thinking? I mean, that's the whole thing. What are they thinking? Well, they're not. So there are some decisions that are, there's just simply no doubt about it. And I believe this is one of the ways that we have that level of wisdom. We simply need to be men and women of the Word. There's just no doubt. I had to do this. I was driving back from Carly's IV appointment in San Francisco, driving back, had the worst rain I've driven through in 30 years. Right in that part in San Rafael, right where all the interchanges go. It always floods there anyway. It probably rained an inch in 10 minutes. And you know what everyone did? They slowed down. It's like an aha moment. Everyone decided, raining an inch in 10 minutes, we ought to all slow down. You ever done that and then there's somebody who is not wise? Yeah, yeah. That's probably why the grapevine was closed down, seriously. They said it was somebody going 90 miles an hour through the snow. So friends, that's the first kind of decision where there should be no doubt. The next kind of decision is when your feelings are unsettled. Sometimes our emotions are in turmoil when we ponder various alternatives. Excuse me. We experience many strong feelings as we face the prospect of choosing. Fearful, we're confident, we're confused, we have hope, we are sad, we kind of don't know, all right? And we discern the spiritual meaning and discover how the point in the right choice. Now, I look at this and I think of Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will stand guard on your heart and on your mind in Christ Jesus. And finally, brothers, whatever is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, if anything of excellence, and praiseworthy, let your mind dwell on these things. The things you have heard, seen, and experienced in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, those are situations where you come to something and you're anxious about it. You got to take a prayerful step back and say, analyze those things that are pulling at you. Am I doing this because I'm fearful? Am I doing this because I'm overconfident? You try to figure out what are the things that are actually pulling at you. And then it's the issue of prayer. It's more of an emotional thing. You're not sure where you're at. Ever been there? Yeah, just pray. Take some time. Allow the Spirit of God to sort out what your motivation is. All right? And I'm not talking about, hey, honey, do you think we should go to Jimmy's tonight or eat at T&T's? You know, you decide. No, you decide. You know, ultimately, who cares, really? Because it's all good. All right? It's a choice between goods. All right? And so the issue is I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about decisions we have to make. And I had that on Sunday night. I'm there. I wanted to go to this meeting. And then the night after, I was going to be staying with Dennis and Lynette Baker. Some of you have met Dennis. Dennis was helped this church as a consultation with this church 12 years ago. Dennis was a pastor I served with in Edina starting in 1983. And Dennis is one of my best friends and one of my mentors. I wanted to spend time with Dennis because Lynette had this weird thing in her tongue where it was this painful tongue disease. And ultimately it's turned now into a dementia. And she's a dear friend. Last time I saw her, we had a wonderful conversation. I was invited in to their little circle. I think I was the first person to stay at their house in a long time. And there's Dennis, who's had to back off from everything, and he's caring for Lynette. And she's starting to wander. She was like a mile and a half away. He had to go find her. So, man, I wanted to be there. I wanted to be there to be with them. So my soul was in conflict, right? And so I had to pray. And ultimately I thought, well, a part of me just said, Sue's been struggling, and man, it's been tough. It's been a tough month. So anyway, part of me said, well, maybe I just got to drive home. My soul was in conflict. And ultimately this, as I prayed, as I sought input from my wife, the Lord brought me to the conclusion, no, I really want to be at that meeting, and I really want to have that time with Dennis and Lynette. And if I would have turned around and gone home, it wouldn't have been a failure. But the fact is this, That's the kind of decision at times. You have to sort out, okay, here's what I'm wanting to do, and is it really capable of accomplishing that? And sometimes you just have to say, no, it's not going to work. But then there's another kind of decision. And this is the kind of decision that I want to finish on, and then why I wrote out 10 pages of stuff for you. I would ask this, is if you take one, just one per family and stuff like that. And don't take one for your cousin. Take one and make a copy and give it to him, right? It's the kind of decision where there's a tranquil and settled frame of mind, but you just don't know what to do. You just don't know what to do. Let me run through some things that can help you with that, okay? Now, here's the next thing here. I've come up with this. I didn't come up with it. Ignatius did, and probably someone before that. He had pro and con list, but then Sue and I have come up with the unknown list. We don't know. If we make this decision, we don't know. It's the unknown. So we put that down. We came to this when we were in 2005. We moved to New Zealand and bought a house, and we're going to spend the rest of our days there. You heard this story before, but I'll tell again. Carly gets sick a year into it. We couldn't figure out what was wrong with her. Kevin struggling in school because the school systems there are so totally different. And basically, when you turn 16 and you're in New Zealand, and if you can read and write and balance a checkbook, you're good to go. And they'll figure out, we don't got a lot of money for higher education, but we need a lot of people to help milk cows and raise sheep and work in the meat packing plants or the aluminum or aluminium smelter. So you're good to go. So, hey, go make $850 a week milking cows or working the meat, working plants. That's how it works. Now, they do train you for that, and there's a lot of jobs. But my son thought, man, I can't make it, and Carly's not getting better, and Sue and I were in a desperate spot. What do we do? We just moved here. We just moved here from Ukiah. And so this is how we went. We went to a place called Ziff's. It's this restaurant down by O'Reedy Beach, and we sat there in front of the fire, and we had this list. In fact, I could bring the actual, we keep all these lists, keep them on file. Pros and cons. If we stay here, if we leave, and then the unknowns. Now, let me start at the beginning, then I'll get to this. Go ahead and put it back on the other slide. No, leave it there. That's fine. Here's the first thing you do when you have one of those kind of decisions. It's this or that. Should I, I'm not going to even say, should I go to this college? Should I marry this person? Should I retire? Should I whatever? Once again, this is not a decision making for doing something against the will of God, right? I'm going to rob a bank. Big con, God says don't do it. Well, then don't do it, right? But this is when it's between two good things. First is to write out as succinctly as you can the decision that needs to be made. Okay. I'm going to pick on a school teacher. My parents are both school teachers. Mom passed away before she could retire. My dad, he had to make a decision of whether he should stay on in administration and then he would maybe stay on for another 5 years, or whether he should retire. So you write down, stay on as a teacher and move into administration or retire. Okay, pros and cons. Right? And so the issue then is you write out specifically that decision. Here's the decision I need to make. And then you formulate a positive and concrete choice. Here's the choice I need to make. And then you need to bathe that in prayer. Lord, this is, I believe, the choice I need to make. Anything about this? Do I have the freedom to make this choice? Am I doing this because I'm frustrated? And I'll speak on behalf of my dad now because, you know, I need to do this because I hate children or because there's something going on. No, I mean, so part of it is that you're allowing the Lord, you're bathing this thing in prayer. Then you go about the issue as to not only bathing it in prayer, but determining your openness to the will of God. Lord, your will be done. Show me the way. I believe then you fill your mind with scriptures, all the scriptures. In fact, on the 10-page thing, I have pages and pages of micro-printed verses that you read through. Read through all of them, and then after the fact, what of any of those verses, what truths jumped out at you that could help you make the decision? Then after you do that, you know what you do again? You pray again. Then after you do that, you do this. Then after you do this, you pray again. And you take this list, pass your friends or your people that are wise counselors, say, hey, listen, this is what I'm thinking. And they may add to the list. And then you know what you do? Then you pray again. And then you make a decision. Should I be an astronaut or a missionary? Should I retire? Or should I stick it out or whatever? You know what the Lord promises? He will show you the way. I didn't write the Bible. He did. He promised. I will make your path straight. I will direct your steps. Been a believer for 45 years. I'm now 62 years old. It may be foggy and cryptic and mysterious at times, but God has always come through. Always. Let me encourage you when you do that. Then once you make a decision, then here's what you need to also do. Lord, prayerfully give me a peace about that. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will stand guard on your heart and on your mind in Christ Jesus. Lord, give me a sense of peace about this. Sometimes the Lord tells you to wait. And sometimes the Lord says, well, seek more counsel. But ultimately, it's about prayer. And that's one of the reasons why sometime this fall, on this springtime, I would like to do it where there's a Friday night deal where I would go through more succinctly this issue. It just scratched the surface. And then on Saturday, we'd find a place nearby where we could do, in a beautiful spot, a personal retreat. And there's a way that you can be guided through that to help make a decision. Friends, you don't need a pastor to help you do that. If you have big decisions to make, then the Lord is saying, read his word, let the light shine on it, delight yourself and commit your way to him, seek wise counsel. This is really just being discerning and wise. We have found that the unknowns are the ones we really need to put to prayer. If we move back to the United States, what if we don't find a cure for our daughter? Well, you just keep hanging in there, right? What if I can't find a job? What if, whatever? You know what the Lord had already set up for me? He didn't say it. By the way, you know, you're in Invercargill. By the way, what I really have for you is to be the pastor of a church in Kelseyville. He could have sent an angel saying, you know, no worries. But no, he didn't do that. You know what he wanted me to do? He wanted me to walk, Sue and I, to walk by faith. That's the coin of the realm in the kingdom of God. Adeline Pollard was distressed and, despite her best efforts, could not raise enough money. She always wanted to go to Africa to be a missionary. She finally made it, but wasn't able to stay very long because of World War I. So she would bop on back and before that, in trying to raise this money, she would go to this meeting one night, and an older lady was saying, you know, you got to trust in the Lord. And she began to read the book of Jeremiah and the book of Isaiah, passages that talks about the potter and the clay. And she'd go home and she would write these words, "Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me this now. As in thy presence, humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine." You see, she got back from Africa and then she got real sick. And then these words, "Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold over my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me." Why is it tough to make decisions? Because the Lord wants it to be tough at times. He wants us to trust in Him. He wants us to rely upon Him. Yep, He could do it with angelic skywriting. But what He's chosen to do is send His Son, who would die on the cross for our sins and rise again. He has chosen to fill us with His Holy Spirit, and He's chosen to give us His Word and the blessing of prayer and wise counsel within the body of Christ, and God promises to show us the way. But there's sometimes we need to slow down and we need to even wrestle with Him. If you've never made the decision to follow Jesus Christ, you've never surrendered your life to Him, you've never called out to Him to be the Lord of your life, then that's the most important decision you'll ever make. Friends, there's no pro and con list about it. There's only one way to heaven. Bible says, what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Nothing. So come to Christ. You do that through prayer. And for all of us who have surrendered our lives to Christ, who have become believers, receiving Him as our Lord and Savior, then let's make sure that we allow Him to be the potter and we're the clay. And so we're going to sing this song. Oops. Got a lead here. Sorry about that. Have thine own way. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me. Christ only always living in me. Trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Heavenly Father, help us to be men and women who make decisions, some on the immediate, some in the middle of emotional turmoil, but also some in the midst of calm, where we have time to slow down and to put these things before you. Thank you, Lord, that you promised to guide and direct our steps, and we can trust you. We thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Once again, it's newcomers' coffee and gathering in the cafe.